Good morning, Rabbi Sai. So first of all, we'll finish off what we started discussing yesterday, which was what is the meaning of the Chei Admoin Betel Talmoin. We all sing it, and I don't know how many of us, including myself, can translate. What's the Chei Admoin Betel Talmoin? Hokem Lono Roya Shivo is we can think maybe about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should re-establish for us our leader, our Roya, our shepherd. But what's the Chei Admoin Betel Talmoin? So there are two Peshotim in the Chei Admoin Betel Talmoin. One Pshat, I mean there may be more, but two that I've seen. One Pshat is the Chei Admoin. The Chei is Losho pushing. That's that simple. Admoin is a reference to Esav, because he was Admoini, Kuloi Kader Seo. He was born as an Admoin in Red. So therefore it's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu should push Esav, Betzel Talmoin. One pshat is he who lives in the shadow of the cross. In other words, Talmoin is a loshon of the Telem. Yeah. In other words, those people who are Admoin, who are Esav, and who live in the shadow of various other gods. In other words, Ovdei Avodah Zarah or Christians. Yeah. Dechei Admoin, Betzel Talmoin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to push him away. It doesn't say where to push him. It just says, Dechei Admoin Betel Talmoin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should push away Esav, who lives in the shadow of Talmoin, of the cross. Loved Africa, the cross, it could be any other alternative religion apart from ours. That's one pshat. The other pshat says as follows, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu again is asked to Dechei Admoin, to push away Esav. But where to push him? To push him, Betzel Talmoin. Talmoin being a loshon of Gam ki eilech begei Talmoves. Talmoves is, yea, though I walk in the shadow of death. So Talmoves is a loshon of death. So you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to push Esav, Betzel Talmoin, into the shadow of death. Only problem with that is that tzel and talmoin, the tzel of talmoin is also tzel. So you're saying, but tzel, moin as in moves. But okay, but you know, within the limits of poetry, that would be permitted. So therefore, those are our two pshatim. One pshat is the chet, they're both chet moin, to push Esav away, to remove Edoim, the godless Edoim, from us. And one is tzel talmoin, describing who the Admoin is, saying that he is somebody who lives in the shadow of the cross. And it could be, I don't know exactly when the period was composed, it could be that Christianity existed already. 13th century, so there was already Christianity was around then. So it could be that the Talmoin, yeah, did refer to the Christian cross.
Crusades time.
Time of the Crusades is Avada then. Betel Talmoin, Dechei Admoin, Betel Talmoin, those who live in the shadow of the cross, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to push away. And the other one is where to push him. Yeah, Betzel Talmoin, to push him into the Tzel Moves, into the Talmoves. Those are two Pshatim. That completes what we were discussing about the Pshatim Moes Tzur. Just briefly, because it's Erev Shabbos, a couple of words about lighting this afternoon. So first of all, to remember that you cannot light before Plag HaMincha, and Plag HaMincha today is at 3:03. So the earliest time for lighting is at 3:03. Shabbos is in at 3:37, and you have to have completed Hadlokas HaMenorah and Hadlokas Neirois by 3:37. So you've only got a window of 34 minutes altogether to do both Hadlokas HaNeirois and Hadlokas HaMenorah. Hadlokas HaMenorah comes first, Hadlokas HaNeirois is second. So the wife will light Hadlokas HaNeirois after the husband has lit his menorah. If it's very late, yeah, it's running late, sometimes people go out to mincha or whatever it is, because some people have a minyan. I have a minhag to daven mincha first and to light afterwards. So it could be that he's running late, and the wife should not run late, and therefore b'dieved, if she is if it's running late, it's getting close to 3:37, and he's in the middle of lighting menorah, then she only waits until he's lit the first candle. Once he's lit the first candle, she can run away, and she can already go to light Hadlokas Neiros for Shabbos, which is her mitzvah.
3:03
is the earliest time to
Mincha,
and 3:37 is
Hadlokas Neiros.
Last time.
Enjoy yesterday.
Shabbos.
Shabbos is.
Yeah.
Chanukah as well. And they have to burn until 5:21. So effectively, you need them to burn for 2 hours. That's half an hour after Nacht.
Started at the Turway, Northwest London, Friday, 5th day Chanukah, Kaf Tes Kislev, 19th December, Rabbi Chaim Berman, Shlita, Chanukah, and the Koach of Divrei Chazal. This week's Torah is sponsored anonymously in honor of the birth of a son. He wrote on Shizkri, the Gadlo, the Sol, the Chupel, Maasim Tovim, and in memory of our esteemed founder, Reb Yosef Dov Ben, Reb Shimon Michal Tzvi Itzkvitz, Zichrono Livrachom.
Okay, good morning. Lichter and Chanukah for everyone. Let's make a Chakira. Basic question, it's a very general question, and then we're going to focus in on Chanukah. Yesh Lachke, in every Issa D'Rabbanan, if a person is over an Issa D'Rabbanan B'Shegig, they didn't know something was Osa, Oma Mutta, which is a Din of B'Shegig, or they just forgot what they were doing, they're over Issa D'Rabbanan, they moved Mukta B'Shegig. They ate something which is Osa, B'Shegig, which is Osa Midrabbanan B'Shegig, Cholavakum. Do they need Kapora? Every Issa D'Rabbanan B'Shegig doesn't need Kapora. And the second question, doesn't Issa D'Rabbanan have Timtum HaLev associated with it? We're familiar with Issuri Torah. We're told that it's Meitzim Bom, that if a person eats Macholis Asuri, certainly that's where the Torah says it. But the Mepharshim explain it's true of other Averis as well, that there's Timtum HaLev, that a person becomes Matumtum, contaminated by the Isurim that they do, whether in a physical way, in a Ruchnistic way. That's where the Torah speaks about Isuri Deraisa. Does Timtum HaLev also extend to Isuri Derabonon? Of course we know, in Isuri Torah, Shogeg needs a Kapora. Person does an Avera, they didn't know they were doing an Avera. It was by mistake. Intentions don't help. Just so we find by a Korban Chatos is only brought when a person did an Avera B'Shegig. Person's Michal Shabbos B'Shegig, this Oma Mutta, they thought it was Mutta to do Bayer on Shabbos, to light a candle. Then they have to bring a Korban Chatos. Chatos means Chet, there was an Avera there. So you see, it's definitely by an Issa Torah, there's a Shema Veir of a Shege, what about an Issa D'Rabbanan? Now there's a famous Hayrav, the Nesivus HaMishpat. The Nesivus HaMishpat and Chosha Mishpat explains that the Issurim D'Rabbanan, the din is that a person is not supposed to be over. The din is that Avera is not the Etzem Hadova Hanesa. The Avera is not the trend, the Torah is not telling you not to do this thing. When the Torah says, I expect you, HaKadosh Baruch says, I expect you to follow Divrei HaChamim, it doesn't mean I expect you not to move Mukta. I expect you not to eat Cholavakum. I expect you to listen to Divrei HaChamim. It's a din in the Tzivui. It's a din in the compliance with the Divrei Chazal. Not a din in the Etzem Adon, not a din in the Cheftza. It's a din in the Gavra, it's not a din in the item, it's a din in the individual who has to comply with the words of the Chazal. Memela says in the Sivas, that if a person is over and Issa D'Rabbanan B'Shegig, you tell me what's the, have they done the Avera?
Yes.
Says in the Sivas, no. Because when the Avera is done B'Shegig without any intent, without any Kavana, it's not a Merida. It's not a transgression of the Divrei Chazal, intentionally. I haven't gone against the words of Chachamim. I didn't know what the Chachamim told me. It's not the activity itself which is prohibited per se, but it's the compliance with the Divrei Chazal, and I didn't go against the Divrei Chazal knowingly. That's not a merida in the Divrei Chachamim. And accordingly, says in the Sivas, there's no Issa, of no Shema Vera, and seemingly it would follow, no requirement for kapora if a person was over an Issa D'Rabbanan B'Shegig. It's a well-known Nesivas HaMishpat, and from this Nesivas HaMishpat it would seem to emerge that there would be no Timtum HaLev, and there would be no Shema Veira if a person would be over an Issa D'Rabbanan B'Shegig, because it's not the Etzem, it's not the Aveira itself which is prohibited, but it is the compliance with the Divrei Chazal which is required.
Why didn't you ask the same thing about the Daraisa, that he had no intention to be married because of the Shogeg?
That is certainly the case, but by a Daraisa, there is more which is happening. By a Daraisa, the Torah tells you in its Mason Bomb that the activity itself is prohibited. It's not just, of course, there's also an inyan of compliance with the Divrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course. But there's more than that as well. The mitzvahs on the Kaddish a person, the averus on the tamtem of a person, the activities themselves are inherently shaykh to our Kedusha, to our Ruchnias. Whereas it would seem to follow, according to Nesivas, that it is not so. It's only the tzivui, the Divrei Chazal.
It says the Timtum HaLev, surely it should affect you whether you know about it or you don't know about it.
That is the case. That is correct. So if there is Timtum HaLev, it will affect you if you know about it or if you don't know about it. And therefore, says in the Sivas, because there's no Timtum HaLev by Issa D'Rabbanan, and this is the inverse of the logic of the Nesivas HaMishpat, because there's no Timtum HaLev, yeah, therefore, if you don't know about it, there's not going to be any Issa whatsoever. The whole Issa is going against the Divrei Chachamim. There's no Issa, there's no inherent Tumah in Chol of Akum. There's an Issa of going neged Divrei Chazal. The position of the Nesivas HaMishpat is quite controversial. And I have a diuk from the Mishnah Berurah that he didn't hold so. Es mevor from the Pri Yitzchak, from others as well. Rabbi Yitzchak Petelberger, he didn't hold it as well. Many achrenim. But I've got a diuk, I think it's Kemat Mefurish. Or it is Mefurish in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says, what is the kapara for someone who is over an Issa Shabbos? D'Rabbanan, what do they need to do? They should fast 40 days.
Wow.
Yeah. Bain mazed, bain shegig. So we see the Mishnah Berurah didn't hold in the Sivas HaMishpat. It's mefurish. You need kapara for an Issa D'Rabbanan. A person's over an Issa D'Rabbanan. Even b'shegig. And there are other achrenim who hold like this, and this is indeed the Rav Binyan Uminyan of the poskim, the consensus of poskim, that one does need kapara. But I want to bring and suggest a raya from a medrash regarding Hanukkah, and we'll see. Delay kenesivas hamishpat, that in every derabbanan there's an inherent kedusha or inherent issa in the chifetz, in the activity itself, in the item which one would eat. So there's where are we going to find a medrash regarding Hanukkah, regarding the menorah? Good place to start. Parshas Nosi. We learned it this morning. Bayom Hashmini Nosi Livnei Ben Menashe. This is a Medrash Tanchuma Parshas Nosi Simon Choftes. I'll read the Medrash and listen carefully. Very interesting. Speaks about Hanukkah. Nosi Livnei Menashe. Also Shaykh in Parsha. Menashe is born. Ilamdenu Rabbeinu. Teach us. Ner Hanukkah Shehoseh Bo Shemen Bayom Rishon. A person lit Ner Hanukkah the first day, and there's some oil left over to the second day. Ma'u lahadlik babasheni. Can you light with the leftover oil on the second night? Kach shanu rabbi seinu. This is what the Rabbanon taught us. Ner chanukah shahusa bar shemen b'yemrishin. If you left over oil from one night to the next, mosef alav kolshu, you add on some more oil, umadlika b'yem sheni. You can light it with the next night as well, for the next night. Vim hoisa b'yem sheni. If you leave over the second night, mosef alav shlishi madlika. You can light it on the third night. V'chim b'shah yomim. And so it is for the rest of the nights. Avalim hoisa b'yom shmini. On the last night, Zayis Chanukah, you light menorah, and then there's some oil left over. What's the din? That's right. You burn it. Oisa loy madur b'fnei atzmoi. You see, you have to burn it. You're not allowed to use it for another purpose. Not allowed to use it for another purpose. Lama, why is that so? Kiven shehuktzo lemitzvah osa lishtamish minu. Since it's been designated for a mitzvah purpose, you're not allowed to use it for another purpose. This is what we call in halacha, nilcha shabbos, mukta, machmas, mitzvah. Something which has been an item which has been designated for a mitzvah purpose, lemashol a shofar, or atzei sukkah, becomes mukta, say the Atze Sukkah for the entire Riti of Sukkahs. One's not allowed to use or eat if it would be something that would be on the Sukkah. It is prohibited because it's hooked to the mitzvah. So a shofar, one's not supposed to move after Kiyam HaMitzvah, because it's been designated for mitzvah purposes, Mukta the Machmas Mitzvah. And there's so too here by the Shemen, since it's been hooked to the mitzvah, one can't then go and use it for cooking oil. And then the Medrash continues, and this is where it gets a bit challenging. Lo yoma adam, a person should not say, Eini mekayim mitzvah zakenim, I'm not going to follow Divrei Chazal. The Eino min haTorah, because it's not min haTorah, it's not midoraisa. Since this whole din of mukta is only drabonon, I'm not going to follow it. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem says, Ein atem rishayim lemakein. You can't say that. Ela kol ma shegozim aleichem, anything that Chazal tell us to do, tiyu mekayimim, you should uphold. Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'asis al pi haTorah sheyerucha. You should do as Chazal tell you. That's the first pasuk the Medrash brings. Sisa, al pi haTorah asher yerucha, leisasa, you're not allowed to depart from the instruction of Chachamim. Lama, interesting phrase here, sha'af al divreim animaskim, because I agree, I give credence, authority to their words. Shenema, second pasuk, pasukim Iyov, se'im v'yithin lecha. V'sigza omer, and when you make a gezerah, V'sigza omer, when you say a gzera, v'yokum loch, and it would have a kima, it will have an endurance. So to speak, when Chazal make a gzera, down here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemaim gives it a kiyum, gives it an endurance, and delegates divine authority, the Chachamim, to make gzeras.
If you use a bottle of oil, then you've got oil left over, but
you
can't use it anymore.
If it's still in the bottle, it's okay. If it's in the menorah, from the oil from the menorah, in the, yeah, thank you for clarifying, then that you're not supposed to use. Unless you make a t'nai before you do it, and you're saying, I'm making a t'nai that it shouldn't become hooked, so then you could.
At what point?
So, that's a good question. The pashas is only when you actually do the mitzvah, because there's another klal called Hasmonalav Mitzvah. If you just designate something with mitzvah, that not alone is not enough. You have to actually do the mitzvah. Yeah? Saying this is going to be good. The Medrash then brings a raya. Briefly with a raya, the Medrash is that when Yaakov gives a bracha to Ephraim and Manasseh, who does he give the bracha to first? Ephraim, even though Manasseh was the Bechor. Yeah? So he changes the order. And then, in the Korbanis and the Siyim, the Korban for Manasseh comes after the Korban for Ephraim. So you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has inverted the order, Hadoris, to be maskim to the inversion of Yaakov Avinu. That we make, so to speak, a gezeira, a din down here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also is maskim. Divrei HaMedrash, sha'af divreim ani maskim. That's the Medrash. And on this Medrash there is a very basic question, which is that we said we have this din, it's a technical halacha in Hilchos Chanukah, that if you designate oil for the menorah, you light your candles, then you're not allowed to use it for another purpose, a non-mitzvah purpose. And then the Medrash says, and you might have thought not like that because it's only Dirabonon, and the Torah says no, because I'm also masking to Divrei Chazal. Now, it sounds like the Medrash is just teaching us that we have to follow the Divrei Chazal, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is masking to Divrei Chazal, and there's an example by Ner Chanukah. The Medrash could have taught me any Issa or Mitzvah Dirabonon to teach me that, and it's definitely significant why they chose this one as opposed to another. Why specifically by Chanukah do we see this inyun of the Koyach of Divrei Chachomim? Moreover, what are the two psukim which are mentioned here? Number one, you should do al pi haTorah sheyerucha, like Chazal tell you, and number two, the sigza omer, when you make a zera of yakum lach. So the first question is addressed by none other than the great Rabbi Yosef Engel in a sefer Asven Deiraisa, and he explains the following, and he has this bit of chiddush. He says, let's look at this idea, this concept of mukta machmas mitzvah. When an item, a shofar, let's say, or the sukkah is designated for a mitzvah purpose, and you used it for a mitzvah purpose, why has it become also to use for other purposes? And he explains as follows. She'inyan mukta machmas mitzvah, harihu rak ba'avur shumi koyach hayos ha'chefetz shal mitzvah. Since this book is an echefetz of the mitzvah, the shofar, let's say, chala alav kedusha, it gets kedusha, sanctity. Va'alkein hana'osei asura. Therefore, you're not allowed to use it for any other purpose. Ki bezoyan hi lekedusha sachifet shi'hanu mimena odol. Because it's a bezoyan to use it for any mundane activity. Va'harizeh kilu hektish. It's as if it's hektish v'yasura, and therefore it's forbidden to use it for anything else. It's got a din hektish, a din in the chifetz. Now, that's understandable, something like sukkah, something like shofar. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa. There's an inherent kedusha which, so to speak, descends from Shemayim, is mekadesh the chifetz. I understand. That's a chafta de kedusha. But what about divri chazal? Can Chazal take kedusha? Where do they get that kedusha from? He said, Rabbi Yosef Engel, people say, La Hashem ha'oretz ha'maloya. Hashem can create kedusha in an item. Hashem can create timtum alev in aviras, and he'll tell us where there's timtum alev, where not, and kedusha, where there's... But the divri achomim, divri chazal, where do they get that koyach from? Where does it come from? And he says that this is what the Medrash is teaching us. That even by an issa d'rabbonon, kivin shehuksev and isyached, lasei spirit zeinai, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to light these Neris Chanukah, and Kedivrei HaMedrash, LeDivreihem Ani Maskim. So that becomes, so to speak, the indirect Rotson of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's Maskim to the Divrei HaChomim. Therefore, that becomes the Rotson Hashem, and that gives an inherent Kedushas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just the Kedusha Midirabonon. It's the Kedusha Deiraisa with a Torah significance, if you want to call it that, in the chefetz itself. Niskariv adova bezeh el kedushas ritzoinei. It becomes a chefetz, an item, with kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, when the Medrash is telling us that the neiros of Chanukah become muktzeh machmas mitzvah, it's saying much more than you have to listen to the Divrei HaChomim. It's because it's muktzeh machmas mitzvah, there must be inherent change in the item itself. In the essence, in the etzem hadavar. And this shows us, perhaps more than all, if not most, of the Divrei HaChomim, the koyach of Chazal. And that's why Hanukkah was used to teach this idea that a person would think, oh, since it's only Drabonim, maybe I don't have to listen. No, you should know the koyach of Divrei HaChomim that we see from the fact that the Neiris and Muktzeh Machmas Mitzvah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskim the Divreihem. He brings a raya from the Shach in Yeridea. The Ramah writes in Siman Pei Aleph in Yeridea that a meinekes, which is a wet nurse for a child, should be careful with what she eats, as should any woman who is nursing their child, because whatever they eat is going to affect their kedusha, and if it's metamtem them, then it's going to be metamtem the baby who is nursing from them. And the Shach says on that they have to be, when the Ramah says you have to be careful about the Yisurim that you eat, Shach says even Yisurim d'Rabbonon. Sha'af al pi d'kotan uchel d'var masurim d'Rabbonon, there's a din, that if you see a child doing an Issa d'Oraisa, you should stop them. We're even talking about the father. But an Issa d'Rabbonon, min adin, you would not have to stop them. Eina oviv mitzuvah l'afrishoi, hainu midino, this is only according to the basic halacha. Mikol mokim, however, Yafrisha, you should still stop the child from eating something, which is from drinking the cholavakum, let's say. Mipnesha maziklu baziknusai, because it can have a damaging effect on the child even many years later. Shemetamtem halev vagorim leitevara, and will bring out in them a negative attributes of their character. Now we're speaking about even in the Issa d'Rabbonon, because it's only said that you don't have to be mafresh by an Issa d'Rabbonon. So we see, says the Rav Yosef Engel, Nasan Deraisa, from the Shach, that even the Issa d'Rabbonon has within it the koyach, that's we show see the incredible koyach. Chazal make a gzera, and it changes the ruchniyastika nature, DNA of that item. That's what we see from the Medrash. That's what we see from Divrei Chazal. And I saw in the Sefer called Shira Anonim, which is by Rav Yitzchak Pinchas Goldwasser, he's the Mashkiach in Yeshivas Oto, which is in Pesach Tikva. And he says that this makes, with this idea, we can explain also the Seder Psukim of the Medrash. The Medrash says, well, we should listen to Divrei Chazal. We find Muktzeh Machmas Mitzvah by the Ner Chanukah. Why? Because the first Pasuk says, what was the first Pasuk? Leisosu, comply with the Divrei HaChomim. From that, all I see is that there's an idea that you have to do what they say. Like the Nesiva said, that's the first thing when it comes to Divrei Chachamim. Compliance. And if that would be all that would be, if it would be Shegig, then there's no non-compliance because there was no Merida, there was no rebellion, no direct transgression against their words. However, the second pasuk is, after it, the Medrash says, "Ani al divrei ani maskim," I agree with them. The pasuk says, "V'sigza omer v'yokum loch." When you make a gezerah, v'yokum loch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mekayim that gezerah. So it's not just they have authority to make gezerahs and we have to listen, but their gezerahs itself have an inherent effect and kedusha and a change in the item. And accordingly, he explains a fascinating idea. We find that generally there's a klal in mitzvahs, that if you're not able to do a mitzvah for whatever purpose, which is for whatever reason, because it's beyond your capability, you've done everything you can and now you're not able to do so anymore. You are oynes. There's a klal called oynes, rachmana, patri. A person, I did my best, I'm not able to do anymore, oynes, rachmana, patri. And you're exempt. More than that, the Gemara in Brachas says, Chishuv la'aseis mitzvah, a person intended to do a mitzvah, v'nenas, and they were not able to because of onus, mala alav akosav, the Torah considers it ke'ilu aso. It's as if you did it. Yeah? So, accordingly, yeah, person went to a sofa mumcha, they did all their biruim, they're not a sofa themselves, not everyone is expected to be a sofa, they did all their biruim, and it turned out after years of putting on the tefillin, or take the mezuzah, be checked, there's a clear mistake, incontrovertible, and it was always there. Will there be any tefiyah against that person in Shemaim if they did their best? No. Ma'ala alav akosav kila asol. Torah says it's as if you did it. Says Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, of course, there'll be no tefiyah against the person. But the tikkun of the mitzvah, that is not completed. A person tried to give tzedakah, and it turned out that the person coming to collect tzedakah was a charlatan, yeah? Then there won't be any tefiyah on that person for not giving tzedakah. No. But will they have all the hashpoyos that tzedakah has to give? Will they have a positive effect on the life of an oni and the hashpoyah for their family and for their children and for their dairies of changing a person's life? That you won't get. The way the Meshech Chochma says it, if a person, he says with the case of the mezuzah, a person did all they didn't buy from a questionable kashrus. They bought from the best, and they did their best, and it turned out to be possible. Then, he says, there'll be no tefiyah from that person for not putting up a mezuzah. But will it be nechshav? Will they get all the schar of the mitzvah mezuzah? No. There was no mala alav akosav kilo. So Torah says it's as if you did it. That means there won't be any tefiyah. Kodesh Baruch Hu won't have any tainas. But you won't get all the positive hashpoyos of that mitzvah. And so therefore, says the Sefer Shira Ananim, the Chashmei Noim come to the Beis HaMikdash, and they find that everything is tomei and everything is defiled. At that point, they were nansim. They were anusim. What more could they have done? They could have just thrown up their hands and said, you know what, we don't have the shemen to light for 8 nights. So we'll have to just make do. Without, but they didn't do that. They would have been paturim, they would have been nansim, but they didn't want to excuse themselves with that. Why? Because even though there'd be no tevia against them, there'd be no taina, Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't hold anything against them. But it wouldn't be, they wouldn't get all the skula of the mitzvah. They wouldn't get the way the mitzvahs are mekadosh us when we do mitzvahs. So they were moisa nefesh, and they tried to do things betahara. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu Midik and Neged Midah did an ace for them as well, and it was able to last for 8 days. And therefore, he explains, Midik and Neged Midah for us too. They were Moisa Nefesh for not just doing the Rotz Nashem. There was no tear against them for that. But they wanted to have the tikkun of the mitzvah, the way the Kedusha of the mitzvah that he couldn't get through Mala Olav HaKosev, the Torah considers if he did it. Since they are Moisa Nefesh for that, we got Ner Chanukah, and we have therefore, like the Medrash is teaching us, in the Etzem, a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, which is only a mitzvah de Rabbanon, we still say that has inherent Kedusha. We have that tikkun every time we do this mitzvah de Rabbanon. I just want to make a aura that this question of when a person is oinus, whether they get the skula of the mitzvah or not, is actually a machlokes. We see from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, this sefer as well, and the Meshech Chochma, that one wouldn't get the Schar the Mitzvah. However, there's a sefer called Erech Shai, and I'll share with you the idea because it's also related to Chanukah somewhat. And the Erech Shai says, it's not so poshut. It's not so poshut. It gives the following explanation. The Gemara in Chulin says, what happens if someone chaps your mitzvah away from you? There's a mitzvah called Kisui Adam. You shecht an animal, yeah? You shecht, then you cover its blood with earth. If someone takes that earth away from you, the person who shechts it has the schus of doing it. If someone else comes and takes the earth and does it in your stead, then they've chapped away your mitzvah. What do they pay you? They have to pay you a penalty for that. How much do they pay? Excellent. 10 gold coins. Freg the Achreinim, how can you quantify a mitzvah? You steal someone else's chayfetz, you pay them back what it's worth. That's a din v'heshiv. How can you possibly quantify a mitzvah of 10 gold coins? Yekarehim ipninim. It's more valuable than any physical worth. So he explains as follows. He says, "Be'etzem, if it was my mitzvah and someone chapped it away from me, it's malal of a kos of kilo asol. I have the skus of that mitzvah. It's not just there won't be a tefiah. It's as if I did it mamish. I get the skus of the mitzvah, 100%. It's good. It's as if I did it, and I get the skul of the mitzvah as well. Erech Shai, interesting. But there's one thing that's lacking. That in every mitzvah, it's not just the asiyas hamitzvah. There's something else that goes into every mitzvah as well. The tircha. It's the physical engagement in the mitzvah itself where you get tzchafel. Now we find in the Gemara in Kiddushin, mitzvah boy, yosemiba, shluchai. Why? Because when you're physically involved in the mitzvah, then that's mekadosh a person the way that even just the etzem kiyama mitzvah doesn't do. So mitzvah boy, the mitzvah do it even more than the shliach. That, says the Erech Shai, if someone takes a mitzvah away from you, you weren't able to do it, that you won't have. The kiyama mitzvah, yes. But the personal involvement, the skula of actually schwitzing over the matzah, whatever it is, that you won't have. And he says, what's the value of that? The value of the tircha for the mitzvah, not the kiyama mitzvah, the tircha in the mitzvah is asar zehovim. Okay, good. And even though the Gemara in Bracha says, ma'alol of akosuf ki'ilu asol, the Torah says it's as if he did it, which sounds like in all respects. The Yad Malachi tells us that sometimes ki'ilo doesn't mean mamish. That's how the Yad explains it. Ki'ilo asol. It's like a chafa dimyon. It just means like he did it, but not mamish. It's just like he did it. Okay? Now listen to this. In the Parashas and the Siyam that we're laning at the moment, we say kaf achas asor azov. Kaf achas is 10 gold coin. It's with the measure of 10. Now, what's the value of a kaf? 10. Ki'ilu asol, the chafa dimyon, the ki'ilu, what's that value of ki'ilu? What's the differential between the kiyama mitzvah and because one tried to do it? And the actual kiyama mitzvah is asor azov. Kaf as achas asora zov. That's the value of that ki'ilu asol, which is not mamish, of that mitzvah itself. Okay, we have three more minutes. So I'm just bringing that as a ha'ara, that this inyan, that if a person was near us and wasn't able to be mekayim it, it's not fully a full kiyum of the mitzvah, is itself a machlekes in the achrinim. But indeed, the Rav Minyan opinion of achrinim hold that it's not so. The famous kasha of the Pnei Yeshua. A person wasn't able, why is it? Kol teirech ha'neis lamali. Why was there so much mesiras nefesh to light the neiras with, of the menorah with tahara? Tumah hutra b'tzibo. The tumah was anyway, they didn't have to be worried because we have a klal that when there's tumas neis and the entire tzibo is tome, you're not able to do the mitzvah avoider in tahara, you can do it with tumah. So why did they need the neis of finding the pach shemen tahir? Various answers, and the Chasam Sefer answers that they could have done it batara mitzad tumas meis. But there was another problem. There's a tumad midrabbanon which Chazal were goyza on goyim that they're metamin kazovim, as if they're as a zov. Now that you don't have the din of tumah hutra b'tzibo because that was only said by tumas meis. And there was a sofik, and they have a sofik. The kohanim had a sofik in the base of Mikdash. Could they therefore light the menorah even though the goyim had been metame it? But they should still light it because it's only an Issa D'Rabbanon. And that the Issa D'Rabbanon shouldn't be Mevatel Avodah. Or maybe they shouldn't because Al Kaponim was an Issa D'Rabbanon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for them a nes that they didn't have to be makel even on the Divrei Chachamim. To be maskim showing once again, that's the words of the Chasam Sefer himself, Heru Lehem Min HaShomayim Haskoma Al Divrei Chazal, Al Gidrei Chazal. the Hachamim, the same words of the Medrash, that Haskama, Kodesh Baruch Hu was maskim to the Divrei Chazal, and they didn't have to be to rely on something which was Tomei Midrabanon, as Tumas Zov by a goy, to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And what did Hashem do? He gave a koyach in the Shemen to light for 8 days. That was a, kind of tying it all together, that was a shinui in the Chefetz, which came mikoyach the Divrei Chazal, that the Chefetz itself, now we have physical shinui. We until now were speaking about the spiritual koyach that Chazal can make in an item. Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was masking the Divrei and changed the nature of the Shemen that it could light for 8 days, to show to them that he was masking for the Divrei Chachomim. And therefore, with mitzvahs menorah, midah keneged midah, we see this yisoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with masking mitzvahs the Divrei Chachomim, and it changes the Chefetz. And therefore, coming back to our question with the Nesivos HaMishpat, would there be Timtum Alev? Is there inherent Kedusha when a person does a mitzvah derabbanan, or is he just complying with their words? We see, according to the Chasam Sofer, according to this idea, Mishnah Berurah as well, this is Pshat and Mishnah Berurah probably must be, then they can change. Chazal can change nature, like we find that the Pesulim of can change through the Divrei Chazal, also Kshach Lashitosle in Yerideah. Yeah. Good Shabbos, and lifting a chazal. Very nice. The encounter between Yosef HaTzadik and the Shvutim when they finally came down to Mitzrayim, and the first exchange of words. It's interesting that Yosef accused them of being spies. Meraglimate. And Mefarshim grappled with this. Why is it that he chose to call them spies? Why did he call them Meraglim? And there's a famous thought about Yeravam ben Nevat that it was got to do with the time when in Parsha Shlach Lecho, the various representatives, Yosef HaTzadik, had from Asher Benin, he had from Matei Ephraim, but let's not go into that. Let's take a very simple he'ura, which is that Yosef recognized his brothers are very astute, very shrewd. And there's no question that if they went down from their encounter and their meeting together with this viceroy, that they would mix amongst the people of the town and they would start to inquire and make exploratory remarks and say, who is this guy? Where does he come from, this king? And of course, you know, within a short while, they'll have established that the newspapers wrote up at the time that it was a slave, he came down from somewhere, maybe from the Hebrew lands, I don't know, and he was subject to incarceration, and he was in jail, was a jailbird, and he was in the hands of Potiphar, and he was sold in... And then they would finally join up the dotted lines and work out that maybe this is the person that they've been looking for. Like Rashi says, that they were going down the Laharek or Lehurek just to go and find this brother. So therefore, the best way to do it is like this. First encounter, immediately before they open their mouths, he says, Meraglim atem, you're spies. Yeah, now go find out what you want to find out amongst the people. You've just been, how do you say, nominated by the king that you are spies, and you've been accused by the viceroy himself, and the first thing you'll do now is start asking questions about Yosef HaTzadik. It's very unlikely event that you'll ask any questions after that. So he stemmed the problem right at the outset, and he said, Meraglim atem. Jetzt geifere kashas. That was the Stam Ha'ura, very interesting one. But I'll tell you something, a nice thought which has got to do, maybe I've said it before, if I have, there is a question which also the Mefarshim asks, why is it that when Yosef HaTzadik
came to decipher the dreams, he spoke about the seven fat cows and seven skinny cows and the sheaves and everything else. And when he finished explaining that they're all down to years, and that there's Sheva Shunim Hainu, Sheva Shunim Hainu, then he goes on to another monologue, which goes, Va'atu, and now, Yaire Para Ishtu V'Bachucham, we should say Eretz Mitzrayim, we should place a man who is going to be the great administrator on the land of Egypt, and he should look after the billions of tons and bushels of wheat that are going in and out. I didn't call you here to give advice. I asked you to come and interpret the dreams. End of story. Why do you find that you've got the audacity to come and give eitzes for the king when I didn't ask for any eitzes? I just asked for an interpretation. So for that, we have to answer that there's a ge'iz. The word va'atu also begs explanation. Why does he say va'atu now? If he wants to say, Yere paro ishnu v'mechuchom ishisai letz Mitzrayim, paro should institute and place this person in a position of power, why the va'atu? So he also says to him like this, there is a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah is that there are bua Rosh Hashanim. One of them is Rosh Hashanah for Tviyeh, which is on Pesach, because that's when the Olam is Nidoin ala Tviyeh. And there's another Rosh Hashanah, like we know it as Tishri, the new year, where very pertinent for people as well. Mi Ye'ushe, Mi Ye'uni, Mi Yisyaso, Mi Ye'uni. Every single movement of man, whether he's going to be elevated, he's going to ascend the ladder of success. He's going to become wealthy or impoverished. All is going to be decreed on this day. So that means that the person who was ordinarily in maybe in a very lowly position and has been elevated to a very high position is also something which is going to be ordained on this particular day. Says Yosef, there is a question of timing, Your Majesty. Why did you have this dream, which is really associated with the entire Egypt, on a day of Rosh Hashanah? Because we know Rosh Hashanah Yutzu Yosef Mibayis Wasirim. So it's clear that this happened on the first of Tishri. Why was a dream which is really associated with wheat and sustenance and helping a country out of starvation, this is something that should have happened, that the dream should have taken place on Pesach, not on Rosh Hashanah, but it happened tonight. You had that dream on the first of Tishri, that means that it's got to do with people. And somebody is going to be me, all the people, all the various people are going to be moved from one place to another during the course of this year. And therefore, I'm bringing it to your attention that I am not now explaining to you and giving you a good piece of advice how to go about the administration. Va'atu yaire para means va'atu, and now that there is a question of timing. Why did this dream happen on the first of Tishri and not on the first of Nisan? There's a reason for that. What is it? Yaire paro ishnu v'mechuchom ishisai eretz Mitzrayim. The paro should know that this is an opportunity for him to elevate a person to an administrative superiority, and he's the one who's going to look after Mitzrayim. Azaz gesind, I get Shabbos, I get the Chabbos. Yeah.
Thank you.